Happy New Year. It is so good to see you. For those of you who are visiting, I'll introduce myself. My name is Kim. I am married to Bill. We are the lead pastors here at the River, and we are so excited that you chose to spend the very first Sunday of 2018 with us. It's wonderful for you to be here. So over the next few moments, I'm going to be kicking off our annual First series. Every January, we have a series called First, and it's all about priorities. It's about learning what is supposed to come first and what that looks like. So if you've got the YouVersion app, we've got some notes there. You can tap into that and follow along. If you don't, you can find out more about YouVersion at the Next Steps booth out in the lobby after the service. But in the meantime, I'm going to have some scriptures on the screen directly behind me. So turn with me to two passages of scripture. The first place I want you to go is Acts chapter 17, verse 28. Acts 17, 28. Put a marker there. We're going to get to that one in just a little bit. Then go with me to Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. We're going to look at that one in just a second. So it's January. It is that time of year when we are all evaluating our lives and determining what we can do to make improvements. Every January, we look at every aspect of our life underneath a microscope and we examine it to see what needs work and what changes have to be implemented in order for our lives to improve, for them to get better, for us to be happier. And the areas of our lives we usually evaluate and determine to make changes in are our finances, our relationships, our faith and our spirituality, among the others. These are in the top 10 for sure. And so these are the topics that we felt like Holy Spirit wanted us to talk about in the first series this year. So this morning, I'm kicking the whole thing off by talking about relationships. So of all the things that we are trying to improve in our lives, relationships have got to be the most difficult. In fact, I think that relationships are probably the most complex thing about humanity. We are the same, yet we're vastly different. You know, we're the same species. We have the same molecular structure, the same hardwiring, all of the inner parts are the same, and yet it seems as though some of us come from another planet. You know what I mean? I mean, even when you look at our own offspring, how is it that we can reproduce ourselves? We can make a copy of us and then look at that reproduction and go, what in the world? You don't make any sense to me. I don't understand you. How many of you have said that as a parent? I know I've said it at least three times because I have three kids. I think that when we're looking at the things in the, you know, the top 10 that really we inspect and we look at and we make adjustments to, if you compare money to relationships, there really is no comparison, because money is far easier to manage than relationships, because money is very cut and dried. Money doesn't give me opinions. Money isn't rude. Money doesn't get on my nerves. I'm always happy to see money come. I'm very sad to see money go. It does whatever I tell it to do, and it meets all of my expectations. But it's not that way with people, because we can't manage people. And people usually give us their opinions, and sometimes they can be rude, and they often get on our nerves, and we're not always happy to see them come, and we're really glad to see them go. And they never do what we tell them to do, and very seldom do they ever meet our expectations. So yeah, relationships can be quite complicated and messy and painful, because people are complex and difficult and very different from us. But I also think that relationships can be very complicated and messy and painful, because often we go into relationships with misguided and unrealistic expectations. We expect to get something from the relationship or from the person that is really not available in relationship. There are some things that you're looking for that you'll never, ever be able to get from a person or a relationship, no matter how wonderful the person may be or how healthy the relationship is. I mean, here's an example for you. Let's just hypothetically say that you like to shop at Macy's. And so you like to shop at Macy's because every time you go in the store, it's well lit, it's very clean, it's organized, it's easy to find things, and the employees are very nice, and they're kind, and they smile, and they're happy to see you, and they're very, very helpful. And the products that they carry are quality products, and you like them. And so every time you go there, you have a really positive experience, and you enjoy going to Macy's to shop. And so one day you find that you're in need of a tractor. And so you think, I'm going to go to Macy's because every time I go to Macy's, it's very positive. And so you walk into the store and it's well lit and it's clean and it's organized and they're very friendly and they greeted you and they looked ready to be helpful. And you know that the products are great and they've got a wonderful selection in you. So you say, yes, I would like to buy a tractor. And the sales associate says to you, oh, I'm sorry, but we don't sell tractors. Well, but I like you. And you're really nice and you've always been helpful and your store is so clean and organized and you've got great products and a wonderful selection. And so I need a tractor. And the sales associate is going to say to you, I'm sorry, but we don't sell tractors. Yes, but I need a tractor, and you've always been so helpful and friendly and wonderful, and you've got great products, and your store is clean and organized and well-lit, and I like your store, and I need a tractor. And the sales associate is going to say to you, I'm not saying that you don't need a tractor. I'm just saying that you can't get what you need here. And I think that's really true for relationships. I'm not saying that you don't need what you're trying to get out of those relationships in your life. I'm just saying that you can't get what you need from a person, from any human. The only way that we're ever going to be able to get what we really need, what is a necessity for all humans, is in relationship with Father God through Jesus Christ. And if we will develop a vibrant relationship with Him first, and we get from Him all of the necessities, then the dynamics of every other relationship in our life are going to drastically change, because not only will He supply what we desperately need, but He'll also teach us how to live in relationship with people who are complex and difficult and different from us. People who are unique and special. When we make our relationship with Father God first, He begins to deposit things inside of us which make us healthy and ready for human relationships. So what are those things? What are the things that we are so desperately looking for and trying to get out of relationships but only Father God can give us? Well, the list of that is a little extensive, and we don't have time to cover that this morning, but I chose the two that I felt like are the most important, and if we can grab hold of these, it's going to propel us in the right direction for everything else in our life to shift. And so the first thing I think that we need is wholeness. Humans are not complete. We are not whole. Because we've been born into sin, there is something that is missing on the inside of us. We've got some empty places. We've got a big void on the inside. I usually like to say it this way, that we arrive on the planet with broken parts and missing pieces. And by and large, we're aware. We're aware that we've got some empty spots. We're aware that something is missing, but even if we do not have a conscious awareness that something isn't quite right, subconsciously, we know it. Because every single human starts on a journey for completion, looking to find something that would fill this void that we have on the inside of us. And usually the first place that we look is to another human. We look to a human to complete us, to fill us, to fix us, to bring wholeness to us. We might do it through our parents, you know, because we think, surely we can find completion there because they're the ones that came together and brought me life. So if I'm missing something, it must be with them. And so we cling to them. But usually, we look for it in a spouse. We're looking to connect with another human in such a way that our empty places become full. All I need is to find someone who has what I'm missing, and then maybe I'll have something that they're missing, and we'll come together, and together we're going to be whole. I'll be fulfilled. I'll be satisfied. I'll be complete. I'm sure that you've heard the phrase in romantic movies when one person says to the other, "You complete me." Right? And if that doesn't work for us, we have no problem saying, "I think I made the wrong choice because I don't feel whole. I don't feel complete. So I'm going to leave you and I'm going to go look for another person who has what you don't have so that I'll be complete here." Or we may be looking for wholeness through our children. It doesn't matter the number of children, just so long as I have children, because what I'm missing is being a parent, is being a mom, is being that dad. That's what I'm really looking for. And so whether the number is 1 or 21, whether you want all girls or all boys or a perfect mix of both, what we're looking for is to have children in order to fill the void that we have inside of us. Or possibly, sometimes we say we're looking for a soulmate. Now, you might have a spouse and you might go, "Well, I really kind of like my husband, but he doesn't quite complete me, but yet I don't want to leave him. What I need is a companion. I need a girlfriend. I need a guy friend. I need somebody who is ideally suited for me, who knows me, who understands me, who gets me. And if I could ever just connect with somebody who gets me, then I'm going to be complete." But the reality is there is no human who could ever complete you. There's not even a collective group of people that you can assemble in your life that will make you whole. And this is where relationships start to get messy and complicated because we're placing unrealistic expectations upon another person when we're expecting them to fill the void in our life. You know, it's been said that we have a God-shaped hole inside of us. God is immense. God is deeper than we can ever imagine. He is more vast than our minds can comprehend. And yet we think that a person would fill that void. And when we expect someone to step up and do God's job, we get really disappointed because they were never designed to fill us up. They'll never be enough. And that really taxes and strains our relationships. It complicates things and it leads to disappointments and it leads to broken relationships. You see, the truth is, Jesus is the only one who could ever complete you. Our first passage in Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 says, "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. In Jesus is the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." We are complete in Jesus through relationship with him. Now that word complete in the Greek is the word pleroo, and it means wholeness, to be filled, to be furnished, to supply, or to be made complete. So if we've got broken parts and missing pieces, if we have got this enormous void inside of us, when we step into relationship with Jesus Christ, he makes us whole by furnishing, by supplying the missing parts and filling in the gaps. He makes up what is lacking. He fills in the void and all the empty places and completes us. But we don't always recognize that immediately. We know When we stepped into the relationship with Father God through Jesus, we know something shifted, something changed, but we really don't see the depth of the magnificent work that he did instantaneously. The moment you came to him, he filled every void. He restored every broken part. He replaced every missing piece. But it's only as we develop and cultivate that relationship with Jesus that we begin to discover how extensive and magnificent the work that he did was in us in salvation. As we journey with him in relationship, he starts to peel back those things that we've been using to stuff that hole. He starts to pull back. See, this relationship is not what you thought it was, and this person isn't doing what you think they ought to be doing because that's not their role. He starts to pull it off layer by layer and say, see, you're already complete because you're inside of me. And he reveals how he mended and restored, and he shows us that he filled the void. And as we cultivate our relationship with him, we discover we are complete. And as we begin to realize that he completes us, then I no longer have the need to be completed. And if I realize that I am complete, then I'm not looking to any other person to come and do that work in me. So that's going to change the dynamics of our relationship. It's going to change how I operate in that relationship. It'll change the expectations I have in a relationship. And it completely takes off all the pressure, freeing everybody involved. See, you guys have heard me say for years, and I'll keep on saying it, I love this man, and I want this man, but I don't need this man. I need Jesus because Jesus is the one who makes me whole. Jesus is the one who completes me. He fulfills me. He restores me. And by knowing that, it takes the pressure off of him to be something that he could never be. And I'm not going to that well drawing for something that can't be found there. And then he just gets to be an enjoyable part of my life. So wholeness. We can only find wholeness in him. But the second thing that we are in such desperate need of is identity. And Jesus is the only one that could ever give us identity. We don't know who we are. Now, you might know your name, and you might know your parents, and your ancestry tree might all be filled out. You might have done a DNA test and know everybody from everywhere that you ever came from, but you still don't know who you are. We don't know our purpose. We don't know our reason for living. We don't know why we even exist. We think that we exist because mom and dad gave an egg and a sperm, and so bam, here we are. And we think that's the reason, and that is not the reason. And we begin to journey. As we're journeying for wholeness and completeness, we're also looking for identity as well. And again, we're looking to humans to do that. We want somebody to define us, to give us a reason for existing, to give us a purpose. And whether it be our parents or our spouse or our kids or our family or friends or coworkers or anybody else that we might be in relationship with, we are looking to them for clues as to who we really are. Now, you might say, not me. I'm a nonconformist. And I will not let anybody determine who I am. I will not let society's expectations rest upon me. I will not let anyone define and determine my course. Okay, fine. You still don't know who you are. And even if you tell yourself that you're a nonconformist, the reality is every single one of us are taking our cues from the people that we are in relationship with. We take their thoughts and their opinions and their comments and their suggestions and their cheers and their jeers, And we are using that to build our identity and to establish our purpose and determine why we exist. Even if they told you you're A and you go, oh yeah, really? Well, I'm going to be B. You just took what they said and let it shape your identity. We take what our mama said. Well, you know, mama always said, my daddy told me, my favorite teacher always said this about me. That teacher I can't stand would say this about me. My girlfriends always said that. You know, my coworkers have usually said that. And we take all of these pieces and we pull it together and we create what we say is our identity. And we go, don't look at this part. It's ugly. It's what they said I am, but don't look at it. It's still a part of me. Whether we like it or not, we're letting people define us and play a huge role in establishing our identity. But the reality is no human could ever define another person. If I don't know who I am, how in the world can I tell you who you are? No one, not even a collective group of people in your life that you trust, that you love you, who care about you, who want the very best for you, could ever give you your identity. No one could ever tell you who you are, and what your purpose is. And again, this is where relationships start to get messy and complicated because we're looking to people to tell us something that they don't know, something that they cannot possibly know. And when we try to live this way, if they can't give us our identity, then we become disappointed and frustrated with them. You're not there for me. You don't support me. You don't encourage me. You're not propping me up. You're not cheering me on. You're not helping me. Or we do let them define us. We let them establish our identity, and then they have expectations of us operating in that identity. And when we can't, then they start to get frustrated with us and disappointed in us. You ask me for your help, but you don't do anything that I tell you to do. You want my advice, but you never take my advice. Why do you act like that when you're really supposed to be that? Or we do take that advice and it stresses us because we're trying to be something that we cannot possibly be. We're trying so hard to live up to their expectations and their definition, and it's burning us out because we can't live that way. We don't know how to live that way. We're not hardwired to live that way. We're trying to be something that we can't be. You see, the truth is, your identity is only found in Abba Father through Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 17, verse 28, our second passage says, for in him is Jesus Christ, in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. That word exist in this passage is the Greek word eimi, and one of its meanings is originate. Now, Colossians 1:16 tells us that all things were created through Jesus. Humans originated, they began, were created by Father God through Jesus. And so as our creator, as our source, as our point of origin, see, you thought your point of origin was your mama and daddy. No, no. They might have supplied some building materials, but your point of origin is Father God through Jesus Christ. And he is the one that establishes your identity. Only the creator can tell you what something is and what it does and what its purpose is. Only the creator knows that, because nobody knows you like the one who made you. Nobody knows you like the one who formed and fashioned you in your mother's womb. Now, when we accept the gift of salvation, like I said earlier, we're stepping into this relationship with Father God through Jesus, we really don't understand what happened. We don't understand the extent of what happened. So when you crossed over from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, that mask that you were wearing, that veneer of sin that covered you, that false identity that you were cloaked in, fell away instantaneously. And the real you emerged. A lot of people will tell you, oh, if you do that whole Jesus thing, you're going to lose yourself. No. You do the whole Jesus thing and you're going to find yourself. You're going to find who you are. You're going to find your reason and your purpose for living. But we don't always see that immediately. Yeah, we know something changed. We know it was wonderful. We know it felt really good. But we don't always see the stunning masterpiece that he unveiled at salvation. And it's only as we develop and cultivate that relationship with Jesus that we begin to discover who we really are and what our identity is. And again, he starts to peel back all the layers. They said that about you. They declared that over you. They told you this is who you were. They said this is what you should be. And he peels all of that back to reveal how fearfully and wonderfully made you are. And he shows you your purpose. And he reveals your reason for living. And as we discover our true self, we know our identity in relationship with him. And as we begin to realize that he establishes our identity, then I don't need you to. What you say about me doesn't matter. Love me or leave me, I don't care. I know who I am because I am in him. And my relationship with him has become my first priority. And I've discovered everything that I need in him. And so it begins to change how my relationships operate. And it changes my expectations in a relationship. And it takes the pressure off the relationship, freeing everybody involved. And so now I'm not looking to Bill to prop me up. And I'm not looking to my kids to make my life have some kind of meaning. I'm not drawing value or worth from them. I get that from him. And then I just get to enjoy them. There are so many things that we as humans have got to have that can only be found in relationship with Father God through Jesus Christ. But we're never going to discover those things if our relationship with him doesn't come first. And when we make the relationship with him the priority of our life, it is going to shift and change the dynamics of everything, specifically though, relationships. So you might be asking the question, well, then how do I do that? How do I make our relationship with Jesus first? Well, the first thing is you've got to start a relationship. If you're not in relationship with him, it's really easy to get in relationship with him. I love that about Jesus. You know, Bill said earlier, we're like sheep, and sheep are some of the dumbest animals on the face of the planet. And so he made it really simple for us, and we don't have to go anywhere. We don't have to go on some type of journey or expedition to discover anything. He's right here. His reckless love has pursued you, and all you have to do is say, I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, Jesus, be my Lord. And you are in relationship with him. It's not complicated. But then it goes past that. Once you're in relationship with someone, then you have to cultivate and develop that relationship, right? I always like to liken it to my relationship with Bill. What would our marriage look like if I never spoke to him? Or if I only spoke to him on Sundays? What kind of marriage do you think we would have? What do you think that would look like? If I said, oh yeah, I love you and you're awesome and you're great, and then I'll talk to you next Sunday. And I kind of did my own thing and we were like ships passing in the night day after day after day. You know, I really meant to talk to him, but I didn't get around to it today. I don't think that we would have a good marriage. And I think those same principles apply to our relationship with Father God. So the first thing he asks you to do is talk to me. Just talk to me. There's no formula. There's no ritual. And it's really not complicated. It is as simple as talking to your friend. He says, why don't you come and sit down? Disconnect for everything for a moment. And just look at me. Just come be with me. You can share your heart, Kim, and tell me what's on your mind, and I'll listen, and then I'll share my heart and tell you what's on my mind, and you can listen, and together we will journey through life. Every day you can just talk to me. I tell you, that alone changes the dynamics of every relationship in your life. Because I talk with him every single day, If I'm scared, if I'm afraid, if I'm troubled, if I'm panicked, if a problem arose, if I'm happy, if I'm excited about something, he's my go-to. He's the one I'm drawing from. I need courage in this moment. I feel insecure right now, Jesus. I'm going to need your strength to remind me that I'm whole, that I'm complete, and that in you I'm enough. I need that from you. Jesus, I'm so excited about this. This is one of the best things that ever happened to me. Jesus, I'm really afraid. I don't know how this is going to work out. I didn't see this coming. I'm not sure what to do next. And when I do that in relationship with him and he gives me what I need for the moment, I'm not sucking the life out of Bill. I can come to him and say, hey, this happened today and I was really scared, or I was afraid, or I was nervous, or I felt like I was inadequate, or whatever it was I was feeling. But then I talked to Jesus, and this is what he said, and this is kind of where I've landed. And I share the journey with him, but I don't have expectations of him walking me through, carrying me through every bump in the road. And then he just gets to be eye candy. I just get to enjoy him for him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Give me a hanky wave over there, babe. He just wants to talk to you every day, throughout your day. So when you get up in the morning, say good morning to him because he's there. And when you take a shower and you blow dry your hair and you're driving to work or you're mowing the lawn or you're doing dishes or laundry or all of those things that we have to do to sustain life, bring him into the middle of it and talk with him and let him listen to what he's got to say when he speaks to you. And then the next thing he would have you do, I'm telling you, this is really simple because this is it. He just wants you to read the letter that he wrote you. It's called the Bible. He just wants you to pick it up and read it. Because if you'll read it, it'll tell you exactly who he is and what his heart is all about. And it will tell you what he can do. So that when you find yourself in a crisis, you'll go, oh, wait a second. I read that God can do anything. I read about how God could part the Red Sea and cause his people to walk through on dry land. Wow. So if he could do that, I bet he could get me enough money for my gas bill this week. It builds your faith and your confidence in him so that when you have a troubling time, you can easily lean on him because you've been looking at who he is. And he's not asking you to read chapter and chapter and chapter and chapter and chapter every day. Something out of the Old Testament, something out of the New Testament, something out of Psalms, something out of Proverbs, till you don't even know what you read to start with. That's not what that's supposed to look like. Just open it up where he tells you to read and then start the journey. And you read until he tells you to stop and you pick up where you left off tomorrow. You let Holy Spirit reveal to you so that you have understanding as you read. You meditate on it, you think about it, you hide it in your heart, and that's what comes to the surface when you're in a crisis. And that's it, guys. That is the simplicity and the depth of a relationship with Jesus. And he said, if you'll just do this every single day, I'll show you things you never thought you'd see. I'll take you places you never thought you'd go, and I'll help you through every problem you ever face. That's it. but it's got to be your first. It's got to be your priority. He can't live on the back burner. You can't forget about him. It's got to be your first. So let's pray. But Father, we just thank you. We thank you that we were your priority. That you left everything to come and rescue us. Show us your heart. And to be in relationship with you. Father, that is the most mind-boggling thing. That the God of the universe would want to have relationship with little old me. Who am I? That you want to know me. We are so humbled by that. And we thank you for it. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to stir up inside of our hearts a desire for intimate, deep, passionate relationship with you. That wherever we are at this moment, that our hunger would be for more. And that you, Holy Spirit, would empower us to go deeper. That you would birth inside of us a hunger for conversation with you. That you would birth inside of us a craving to read your word that is so strong that it surpasses anything we've ever experienced before. We just give you permission for that. We invite you to sing songs over us in the night and to wake us up so that we can hear you whispering words of love into our heart. We ask you to bring things into our life every single day that would be reminders of your presence. Reminders that you're right there with us and we can talk to you. Teach us. Teach us how to make you our first. And I pray for every person that's going to go through the fast. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to hover over them. And as they exchange food for prayer, that you would meet with them. That they would have an awareness of your presence that they've never had before. They would hear you and see you with clarity. I pray that you would take that time and awaken things inside of them that have been dormant and asleep. I ask that you would give them vision and insight and that would walk away from that experience so profoundly changed, Father, that they could never go back to what they were 7 days before. I ask that you give them things that they're going to need in 2018. And that when we come to this place a year from now, they'll look back on this week and go, I know that it's connected to my time with God when I sacrificed food. And we thank you in advance for the work that you do in us and through us and for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.